This is the South Florida Tech Podcast, a weekly show where we bring you the awesome, innovative people building our South Florida tech community. Each week, we'll introduce to you one of the Sunshine State's top business, startup, or tech leaders. Learn about who they are, what they do, and have some fun conversation along the way. Our podcast sponsor is Emerge Americas. Each year, global enterprises, disruptive technology, and elite startups are highlighted at Emerge's premier tech event, Connecting the Americas. The event is held in Miami Beach, which to date has hosted organizations from over 40 countries and featured over 250 speakers from around the world. Emerge Americas is transforming Miami's tech hub by connecting entrepreneurs, investors, leading business executives, and decision makers.
Today, we're really lucky to have Chris Nielsen on our podcast, the founder and CEO of Levitas, a leading artificial intelligence solution company that got its start in a garage in Jupiter, Florida in 2006. Since the early days, Chris has overseen the organization's growth into a portfolio of companies that are all complementary to each other. In addition to Levitas, they have an advertising and digital marketing firm called Two Ton Creative that Ryan Boylston, another colleague and friend, runs, professional IT services company, VXIT, that Paul Vedder runs, and most recently, Vinsa, a patented AI as a service platform and computer vision model library that's also partnered with Boston Dynamics. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. In addition, Chris serves on the Economic Council of Palm Beach County and the on the board of the Jupiter Lighthouse, and he was one of our founding board members here at Palm Beach Tech Association, one of our first members. But Chris is an awesome guy. You can find him around Jupiter, boating, diving, spearfishing with his family. But Chris, you're a great guy, my friend. Thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Joe, it's great to be here, man. It's so funny you're referencing the back in the early days of the founding Palm Beach Technology Association. Still remember getting that phone call from you. Hey, man, I got this idea. Quite a long way, man.
Yeah, I don't know who was crazier, me for trying to reach out to you or you for taking the meeting.
Me for putting my name on your crazy idea. Fortunately, worked out just fine.
Yeah, it took a little bit, but you know, we're definitely in our flow right now. But
it's great to see.
You know, with that, I mean, you know, Chris, you've been working here in technology for about 15 years. I mean, you know, and an interesting path along the way. So tell us a little bit more about you and the companies that you work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for kind of teeing it up. I think you mentioned in the introduction that, you know, typically, you know, my day job, my 9-to-5 is growing and leading Levitas. We're an emerging technology consultancy. We focus very specifically in the field of artificial intelligence. Our purpose is to help our clients understand, design, and deploy AI across their enterprise, basically to help them save money and increase their customer satisfaction and delivery. So that's Levitas. That's our day job. We're half consultancy and half AI as a service product company, and that's the Vinsa offering that you mentioned, kind of one of our newer spin-offs. We've been investing and developing the Vinsa technology for the last year and a half, actually. So even though it just launched this year, it's been in the works for quite some time. So it's a computer vision platform and a model library. And talk about what I mean when I say model library here in a minute. But that's kind of the high level. Levitas, we more than just kind of a consultancy, if you will, in a product shop. We've also served as kind of, you know, an investor, accelerator, incubator of our own startups. So you mentioned Two Ton, you know, creative agency down in West Palm Beach, which used to be a part of Levitas. It used to be our in-house digital marketing, branding, creative group. But as we focused over time and kind of evolved ourselves, we realized that they were perfectly capable of being their own standalone company. So we actually went out into the market, found a tremendous partner in Ryan Boylston and Andrew Heist, who were running at the time Woo Creative out of Delray. So we forged a partnership with those guys and brought the Levitas Digital Marketing Branding Creative Group and merged it with Woo Creative's group. And it has been a fantastic venture for everyone involved. So that's our two-ton offering. We also spun off Created and spun off VXIT, led by Paul Vedder and Craig Royston, also down in the West Palm area. our customers were asking, hey, you do technology. Can you also do our servers and our emails and our phones and our data backup and our storage? And that's really not where we were headed as a company, as Levitas.
Yeah, it's all technology, right? Never mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know how you're a great aunt's email guy. Fix my email. You know, of course we can do it. But we decided to break the VXIT offering out into its own standalone business as well. And Paul and Craig have been killing it. Just they have happy customers. They're growing. They're thriving. Their team is growing. They got really fun office space down in the district, the warehouse district area. And then again, most recently, spinning out Vinsa. It's a product of Levitas. So we kind of go hand in glove with Levitas and Vinsa. The reason I took just a minute to walk you through kind of the broader story is that a lot of people know Levitas here in town, but we are really part of a family of companies that we've spawned. So it's been a fun ride all these years.
I hear you. That's you know, it's funny that you kind of started in one thing and that's, you know, spun out in, you know, so many different ways. But take us back to the beginning for a second. I mean, you know, I like that little anecdote about, you know, starting in a garage, right? But what was the start of Levitas? Like, what was that like beginning? Like, hey, we're a company now. We're building technology. What were the early days like?
Man, you know what? I would love to say that it was a Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, drop out of school, pursue a vision type of thing, but it wasn't. I had a job in a software company. Things were going great until they restructured, and my unit of the sales team all got laid off. It's about 15, 16 years ago. So in a way, I kind of tripped into starting Levitas. I was, you know, capable in terms of sales. I knew my way around digital. I was familiar with, you know, custom software. So rather than hopping right back into the job pool the next day after being let go, I said, you know what, let me see if I can do this. Let me start talking around. Let me see if I can pick up a couple clients here and there. And thanks to my network here in town, I was able to start picking up small projects, websites here, maybe a branding project there. And you know, it was me and my one of my first employees, David Newman, the first employee, and it was me and him against the world. And we started growing, and we grew from the office, my garage, which, funny enough, with COVID, I went back to my garage these last several months. But we started growing, and we moved to a small office in Jupiter. Before you know it, we needed to expand there. Before you know it, we moved to the office at in Palm Beach Gardens. So you mentioned the change and spinning out companies and change is in our DNA at Levitas. If you knew us 15 years ago, you'd view us as a general purpose digital agency. You know, we'll design your business cards, we'll build your website. Sure, we'll integrate your CRM. We would do anything we could to get revenue. That worked for a time, but we realized strategically we had to start focusing. We couldn't be everything to everyone. So we did start focusing, and about 4 or 5 years ago, we realized we needed to head head first into artificial intelligence to differentiate from more commoditized digital providers out there. Rather than fighting the entire world, literally the world, there's a lot of services that are commoditized and globalized and available, you know, from other countries at a much reduced rate. So we wanted to do something that would get us out of that and into subject matter that we saw shaping up as kind of the white hot center of the modern enterprise. So that's where we landed on artificial intelligence as our key subject matter. And we began hiring against that. We began marketing our services and positioning ourselves against that. And it turned out that a few years ago, maybe it wasn't as sexy as it is now, but it was the right move for us to evolve to who we are now.
So let's talk a bit about the newest project that you've been working on, Vinsa. I know that's been, it's kind of like a second iteration. It started internally in Levitas. Now it kind of spun out. That's all where your some of your proprietary work has been going to. So tell us a little bit about that, and then I guess layer in the Boston Dynamics stuff too, because that's pretty cool to hear about.
Oh man, there's very little more exciting in my world than our new Vinsa product and its partnership with Boston Dynamics, which, as you know, is kind of, you know, the leading, a global leader in advanced robotics. And we are really excited about that. But yeah, Vinsa, you know, Levitas is, we're consultants. We love solving hard problems for great customers, large brands. We get to work with some of the best known companies on the planet, helping them shape and you know deploy their AI strategies. And we love that. We love the variation of work. We love new challenges. We love solving new problems. But there's also an element of, hey, let's build something repeatable. Let's build something scalable. Let's develop our own tool. And to be honest, to rep another Palm Beach County tech guru, visionary, and in many ways, probably one of our key software leaders here in South Florida, Dan Kane, I was able to grab lunch with him a ways back. He probably doesn't remember it, but he gave me some advice that stuck with me. I was telling him about the ups and the downs of professional services and consulting and how we love it, but it's really exhausting to constantly be looking for your new, you know, a new customer and a new challenge. And he said, hey, Chris, you got to start building your own intellectual property like yesterday. And of course, he's speaking from all of his experience, successful on so many levels, and now with Modernizing Medicine, this incredible company. So I took that to heart. And again, it was over tacos down in Delray. I don't think he would remember it. But it impacted me, and my team was already starting to think that way as well. So one of my business partners, Daniel Bruce, is really the brains behind Vinsa. We decided that we were going to kind of put the flag in the ground in the field of computer vision, which AI, of course, is the large umbrella, means a lot, means nothing, means everything, means nothing. But AI is the big category. But underneath it, there's a subset of AI. It's called machine perception. That's made up of natural language processing and computer vision. You may have heard it called visual AI. Sometimes they just call it vision. But computer vision is where we decided to plant our flag in the ground with Vinsa. And we began building out our own intellectual property, our own tooling, our own platforms, and our own models. The first model in what will become a series or a library of models. It might sound boring to the average person, but it's gauge reading, analog gauge reading. I won't go into all the details, but there are thousands of, really millions of square feet of plants and factories and facilities around the world that have legacy infrastructure, old, pipes and systems and chillers and turbines. And a lot of them have analog gauges that aren't connected in any digital way. Well, that's a real problem if a really sensitive piece of equipment is, the gauge is saying, hey, there's a problem here, but no one is there to monitor it. So it's a heavy cost to send people around these plants. Again, thousands of plants. Think chemical manufacturing plants. So we built a computer vision model that sits on top of, that looks through the camera, that can be a fixed camera. It can be on top of the Spot robot from Boston Dynamics. And it can automatically read the gauge and immediately report back if it's if there's a problem, if something's above or below the acceptable safe thresholds. So I know that kind of sounds very niche and very techy and very specific, but it's a huge problem for some of the world's largest manufacturers, and it's already being deployed with brands that you would know. I would love to name drop them, but I can't at the moment. But we're talking about global gas, oil and gas companies. We're talking about electric utilities that have this problem. So gauge reading is the first of many. Another model that we have in the works is PPE monitoring, mask detection. There's obviously now with COVID a huge need for this. You can't have people monitoring. That's a really high cost. So we built a model that allows our, the Vinsa model to identify if people are complying to mask, regulations. There's a whole host of other ones, but that's the Vinsa offering. And one of our first major partnerships was with Boston Dynamics. So I don't have to, I could talk about them for hours. Not only are they the leaders in advanced robotics, but they're awesome people. And we've really kind of been in the trenches, out with customers, demoing the robot, showing how Vinsa can help make it even more valuable. So in a way, you could think of the Vinsa models as the cognition engines or the brains for the robot dog Spot that they have. But Vinsa can be used behind drones, fixed camera networks, any type of robotics. If it has a camera, Vinsa can make it smarter, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so some of the companies that you're working with, are they all... they're working on some stuff that is so next level, they're trying to like keep it under wraps because of how unique it is?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a two-part answer. Yes, people, brands that are already working in the fields of advanced computer vision, they view that as a strategic advantage and they do not wanna talk about it quite yet. There's a second part to that answer. We work with several consumer-facing brands that deal with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of consumers, people, you know, average population on a daily basis. Very well-known cruise brands, global operator of theme parks. There's a stigma with computer vision. By the way, we do not do facial recognition. Are we capable of it? Yes, but it's a very hot topic, especially when you're talking about consumer-facing use cases. You're seeing that play out right now with all of the large tech companies withholding their facial recognition tooling from law enforcement. I'm not making a political statement, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying it's a very hot topic. So we're more on the business use case side of things. And sometimes our large brands that are our customers prefer to keep it super under wraps. So it's kind of a both and.
Gotcha. So going to some stuff along the side, like we talked obviously about what you're doing with Levitas, but you're one of those like homegrown entrepreneurs that's kind of been here, done that. What advice have you given to other entrepreneurs that you've come into contact with over the years, either be speaking or one-on-one conversations, or just some words of wisdom that you've shared here and there?
Yeah, I'll start, and again, give you another two-part answer here. To young people, every chance we get, we like to host young entrepreneur groups. We love to connect with chambers of commerce and kind of their youth programs to hopefully inspire entrepreneurialism and give them some encouragement. So to them, believe it or not, I say, hey, my workforce is about attitude and aptitude. I don't need a 4-year degree plus a 3-year, master's plus a PhD in data science. Those things are awesome. And the people who do have those deserve them, and they're incredibly valuable. But to the young people who are 16, 17 years old, starting to think about higher education, I say go out and get hands-on with an internship. Dig in somewhere. Yeah, you're not going to make great pay for the first year or two, whatever. But we hire a very high portion of our interns every year, and they go right into the workforce, and then they can unlock those high tech salaries. So to the young people, I say, get hands-on and start building stuff. Rather than, hey, I graduated from here with a GPA of this, personally, that doesn't move the needle. I didn't go to college. So it would be a little hypocritical if I said, well, your GPA was just a little bit on the low side there, son. That doesn't move the needle for us. It's attitude, it's aptitude, and it's showing your work. So we tell people, hey, go get certified in AWS. Go get an Azure certification. Go attend, Google Cloud online program. Go get certifications that are meaningful in our world, and go build stuff. Show me what you can do. So that's the first encouragement to young people. But from obviously entrepreneurs aren't just young people. I think I saw a statistic that the average age of company founders something like mid 40s. I mean, it's obviously a wide age range. So to them, I would just say, focus on the right people. If you've read the book, Good to Great, the Jim Collins, it's basically one of the Bibles of business. They talk about having the right people on the bus. And I can tell you that one of the reasons that Levitas scaled as fast as we did is the quality of people that I was able to attract early on, and that they then were the reason that even more great people were attracted to us. That's our success right there. I'm not a tech person, believe it or not. I can talk about it. I understand strategy. I know most of the buzzwords, but I don't code. It's not about that. It's about bringing on the right people who can also inspire and lead and attract. So right away, within the first year of starting the company, Ryan Gay, one of my business partners, was the reason that we were able to unlock scale. He did what he did really well: operations, finance, project management, administration, and that allowed me to focus on sales, customer engagement, design. So by attracting Ryan in the very early days, I was able to attract my Daniel Bruce, and then I had David Newman and some of the names who are still with us all today. So it's all, in my opinion, getting the right people around you to support your mission and drive your culture is kind of step number one. So that would probably be my first advice.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about you as Chris for a second. You've been like the Jupiter guy. You've been the North County guy for a number of years. But you have a family. I know you pride yourself on being a good dad and a good family man. How does that play into who you are as a person, and how do you balance that with everything that you have going on?
Yeah, man, you're hitting on the important stuff, to be honest. And not to get all philosophical on the tech podcast, but none of this matters. None of what we just talked about really matters if I let my family, if I leave them in the dust in pursuit of some vision of corporate success. Like, literally none of it matters. So yeah, I would say that I'm a family man. We got three beautiful young kids. My wife and I, we love Jupiter. We love being a part of the kind of the inlet, Jupiter inlet water scene. We're a big boating family. We're out there several times a week just enjoying the sun, the water. I mean, we have a tropical inlet up there. We're right next to the Gulf Stream. We got great fishing, tropical turquoise water. So what's not to like about Jupiter, in my opinion? I like to pride myself on being the unofficial and unpaid head of tourism for Jupiter. So that's kind of how I view myself up there. I'm also a little bit, connected to that community up there through my involvement with the board of the Jupiter Inlet Lighthouse. So it's our historic landmark. We're actually just celebrating our 160th year of the lighthouse being here in Palm Beach County. So a lot of cool stuff there. And it's kind of the heart and soul of Jupiter is that lighthouse. It's the most iconic. It's one of the most iconic, landmarks in South Florida. Every time the Discover the Palm Beaches are using great photos from Palm Beach County, guess what's usually featured right away? It's the Jupiter Inlet Lighthouse. So I love being involved there. We're there to protect the structure itself, the 120 acre parcel that it sits on, from an ecological and environmental standpoint, from a history, education, cultural standpoint. There's just a lot going on there. So I've been really, really privileged to be a part of the board there, executing our mission. But yeah, you come up and hang in Jupiter, give me a call, because I'll make sure you hit all the right things there.
Awesome. And mention family for a second, and speak of some of the notifications that are going off and that are being recorded right now are actually my mom texting me, ironically. So I'm trying to, I'm trying to like, oh wait, hang on, Chris, like go back and forth there. But I mentioned you as a dad, but it's kind of a two-part question. You obviously get out of the house, you like your hobbies. What do you like to do with your family on the weekends? What kind of like brings you joy to get out of the house and have some fun with them?
Yeah, we're sitting on the boat, cruising, hitting the beaches. We live in very close proximity, some very dear friends of ours, and they have kids in the same age range as ours. So there's always a pack of kids out back. So we'll just sit out back in the driveways, hang out, have a beverage, watch the kids grow up in front of us, watch them play, watch them get in fights, watch them make up and do it all over again the next day. So being outside, being with family, and then you'll find me a personal hobby. I have been working on a 1968 Ford Bronco. So I kind of, you'll find me tinkering around there. I don't really know what I'm doing, but somehow the thing runs. So, and actually the new Broncos just came out. You didn't see that.
They look interesting.
Exciting. Yeah, interesting. I saw a meme that it was a Jeep Wrangler and the FJ Cruiser. And it was like, they got together 9 months ago and then produced this, the Ford Bronco. Anyway, I'm a Bronco guy. So that's one of the things you'll find me doing around Jupiter on the weekends, driving to the beach and driving a dune dog and back.
It's ironic. I saw that meme too. It seems like, for whatever reason, somebody just had that waiting, as soon as the announcement.
Yeah. It was queued up. Yeah, I agree with that.
So one of maybe two last questions here. you know, we've been talking a lot about South Florida and the tech industry as a region for a long time. I think, you know, since we talked, you know, we talked about the importance of, you know, building a tech hub here. That said, what call to action do you have for anybody who's listening or watching this that says, all right, I'm a part of the South Florida tech community. What can I do?
Yeah. Well, Joe, I'm going to give some advice here that I need to take myself. Obviously, the last few months have been hard to get together physically, but just getting involved and showing up for these events. The last one I think that I did with you all was down in Fort Lauderdale. We brought Spot, the robot, Boston Dynamics. That was a blast, just getting out and meeting people, seeing people. Again, I'm speaking to myself here that I could do a better job of that, but for this tech community, we got to know each other. It's not about necessarily lining up a sale or lining up your next job. It's just about being in community together and having those opportunities. So I think that would be one of my, you know, call to action, as it were, for tech folks here. And it doesn't matter. I think we often talk about entrepreneurialism, and that's part of my story. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. You can be working for a great company. You can be working for FPL doing computer vision and robotics. You can be working for Florida Crystals. You can be doing, you know, work for Royal down in Miami. Just get involved is what I would say. And I'll be taking my own advice as soon as all this COVID craziness lifts.
I hear you. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining the podcast. As I mentioned, Chris was one of our first members with Palm Beach Tech going back over 5 years. And ironically, today, I completely forgot about it. Today's the 5th anniversary of Palm Beach Tech. So hey. Might as well have our first member on to help commemorate. But
that's, you realize that with 3 minutes left in the podcast. I love it.
Well, I realized it, but yeah, I, you know, had a lot going on in my head today.
I'm just kidding. But, that's funny. Good. Congratulations, man. Hey, Joe, I'll end by saying this, man. I know that, you know, I'll get accolades because I'm in the press or I'm hiring people and building a business and all that. That's great. But what you've done building Palm Beach Tech, you know, not just for flattery's sake, I'm telling you, I think you're really one of us in terms of an organization builder and a leader. What you've done, you know, spinning up the co-working space and keeping the association alive, growing the membership, and also now expanding to kind of being more of a South Florida tech thing. It's impressive, man. So I just want to make sure, you know, I view you amongst the ranks of the great Palm Beach County entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure I said that on our 5th anniversary.
Well, I appreciate that. And for those that want to be a part of that team, for all of South Florida, you can go to palmbeachtech.org, you know, learn more about the organization. You can join. We have individual memberships and corporate memberships that start at $500. And of course, the entire team at Levitas, Two-Ton, BXIT, Vinsa, and everybody who's really been part of the Palm Beach Tech movement over these last few years. So thank you again to Chris and all my best to you and the team.
Awesome. Joe, thanks again, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank our producing sponsor, MediaOps. They're the premier global media platform for technical communities with brands such as DevOps.com, Security Boulevard, Container Journal, and Digital Anarchist. DevOps.com, their primary brand, attracts and engages a thriving online community of technology professionals around the world. It is the largest collection of original content relating to DevOps on the web today, featuring up-to-the-minute news, highlighted stories, blogs, and more.